morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. More and more people are riding bikes for fun, exercise, and transportation. This morning, we'll talk about biking in Greater Cincinnati, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Joining me, our senior city planner with the Cincinnati Department of Transportation and Engineering, Melissa McVeigh, Mel McVeigh. Also this morning, Park and Vine owner and bike advocate Dan Corman and owner of Reeser Bicycles, Jason Reeser. We'd like to hear your questions and comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly glad to have everybody here today. I think a good place to start is to just try to figure out, and I think it's more than most people realize, but how many people really are bikers in the Cincinnati area? And the only reason I say it's more than people realize is we've had more Facebook comments and people looking at our website and asking questions and tracking this show than many of the topics we have. So how big is biking in Greater Cincinnati?
That's actually a really difficult question to answer. The city has started doing counts. A few years ago, we started doing counts because the only data available was what the census does, and it's only every 10 years. And that's really only people who commute. And it's only people who commute for a certain week, you know, during the year. And so we didn't feel like that was a really good way to measure it. But I think even when you look at that, it's several hundred people. But we felt like we needed a better measure. And a lot of the big, more bike-friendly cities do their own counts. And so we have partnered with Queen City Bike for the last few years to do volunteer counts at about 10 or 12 locations throughout the city that we know are corridors where lots of people are biking. And we usually do peak hour counts, like 4 to 6 p.m. in the evening. So we catch people who are sort of coming or going from work, but also people who are going to the grocery store or, you know, stopping to grab some coffee after work or whatnot. And what we've seen is, again, it's several hundred people, and it's growing every year.
What do you all think?
I think you can look at cycling. It's something that people of all ages can do. It's easy on the body. It's healthy. A lot of people will ride around their own neighborhood for recreational, ride with their kids. They'll ride on the bike trails. They'll go mountain biking. There's all kinds of activities that don't show up on commuter counts, and it really is one of the most popular adult sport activities in the country right now.
Well, you have one store in Newport, another store you just opened in Over the Rhine. Are you finding that you were able to do that just because there seems to be more and more interest?
Yes, there's definitely, with people moving into Over the Rhine, there's really just not room for all the cars, for everyone to have one or two cars there. And there's a lot of people that move there just for the reason that they could walk or ride their bike to work and to do all their activities like shopping, things like that. So being close to the city, being in the urban core is a cool location for cycling.
And I should clarify, when I say that we're doing counts and we're counting several hundred people, we know that that is only a fraction of the people who are really biking, because like Jason said, there are people out on the trails and we're not counting them. People who are bicycling in places where we just don't see them. And so my guess is that it's several thousand people of all ages and abilities. And I think that what we are starting to see more is people really bicycling for transportation and not just recreation, which is really exciting because I think that's really a sign of us becoming a more bike-friendly city where bicycling is more mainstream.
Now, Dan, that's something you do. What I heard that you moved your store and you did it by bike?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sometimes I have to remind myself about that. But 3 years ago, we didn't use a car or any vehicle whatsoever to move the store from Central Parkway and Vine, just two blocks east to 12th and Main, the old Caldy space, which is where we've been for about 3 years. So we had like three or four different moves, and we basically used four-wheel carts, and in some cases we used bicycles. Frank Henson was one of them, the head of Queen City Bike. But that's like one of the cores of the mission of the store, is to be sustainable and good stewards to not only ourselves but also our environment. Plus, we wanted to have fun with it too, and I think that's the key part of it. Like every day, when I wake up in the morning, I decide whether I'm going to ride my bike or walk. I live about 4 miles northeast of downtown, and lately, actually, I've been walking a little bit more. But it's exciting every day when I get up and ride my bike. There was a little bit of rain this morning, but I had just gotten out of the shower. That didn't bother me, so why is a little bit of rain going to bother me for not even a minute?
Well, you know, I have a question, though, and you talk about people riding to work. And one of the things that I think about, and maybe it's because I'm, I don't know, just concerned about appearance or whatever. If you're doing any length of time biking, if it's a hot summer day, you're going to get to work and nobody's going to want to sit next to you because you're going to need a shower. I mean, what do you do in those situations? How do you make it so you arrive at work looking as good as when you got out of the shower in the morning?
Right. Well, for me personally, my commute is not really that long. It's only 4 miles. So it takes, depending on headwinds and that sort of, actually, that's really all I have to worry about are headwinds. And if the weather is a little inclement, but in terms of traffic, I don't have to worry about the traffic because I'm continuing to go with, you know, my own pace as long as I'm riding with traffic, which is what I do. But by the time I get to the store, I may be a little warm and especially in the summer, a little sweaty, but, you know, it dries off pretty quickly.
And baby wipes are key.
And baby wipes are great. And there are other ways. And honestly, I mean, you see how I'm dressed here. I'm just wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And I'm wearing flip-flops. You know, I'm not a big geary kind of guy. I don't wear spandex and that sort of thing. That's just not how I feel comfortable.
Flip-flops?
Yeah, that's how I'm biking.
I do too.
Yeah.
Biking, that doesn't sound safe to me. Do you encourage that?
Jason
biking?
Probably doesn't encourage
that. I do not
that.
Encourage that. Yeah. But yeah, any way that you can is better than not biking at all.
But that's a great point that Dan brings up. I think a lot of people have the perception that if you want to get into bicycling, you have to have all this fancy gear and spandex and special shoes. And, you know, I biked over here today in a miniskirt and espadrilles. So, I mean, you really can wear anything you want. And if you're going as slow as you want to go, and you go early in the morning in the summer, I mean, you can really get almost anywhere without, you know, perspiring too much. So,
yeah, and there are some places of employment that do have showers where people can get cleaned up. And we have the Cincinnati Bike Center at Mehring Way, which is a facility where commuters can go and freshen up before they go to the office. But most people I know, and at all levels, just go directly to work. And like you said, Mel, just use a baby wipe or mm-hmm. maybe even change clothes. Some people just change clothes and they're off on their day.
That's brave. I guess I can just see my hair. You know, it would be a really bad hair day, or you know, have that helmet on all the way. And but that's cool. A lot of people do that. Do you find people do that in suits too? I mean, is it all is it everybody in all realms of professions, or do you find it's different?
I find that people will leave a set of clothing at work and they'll ride in with, you know, a t-shirt on, something like that. And it is a little cooler in the morning, so the ride home you might get very sweaty, but on the way in it's generally, you know, a little easier. If you're commuting to downtown, you're usually going downhill from wherever you're coming. It's at the bottom of the urban basin, so it's generally a pretty easy ride. I rode in this morning to the studio here, and it's a little warm in the studio, but I don't think I'm getting overly sweaty right now.
How far is your commute, Jason?
I rode about 3 miles in this morning.
I think it really comes down to how far you're riding. I know there's an older gentleman I see almost every morning downtown in a suit and a bow tie riding into work, and it's such an amazing sight to see.
Do you think there's a limit as to the distance that makes sense to commute? I mean, if you live 35 miles out, are you going to, you know, bike in?
Personally, I wouldn't, but, and I love bikes, but that would be a little bit far for me. But I think, I mean, I'm not as active as these guys, but even I could do, you know, probably up to 7 miles without really breaking a sweat if I was going slow enough.
I know that there are folks that will do it occasionally in the summer as the days get longer, and there's also a lot of people that will use the tank or the metro. They both have bike racks on the buses, so they'll do the majority of the trip by bus, hop off, and ride the, you know, short distance over to where they actually work.
What about where do you put your bike when you get to work? Now, obviously, you have your own store, so you've got someplace I'm sure that you can put it. But in the average office place, is there anywhere downtown to park your bike?
There are tons of places downtown to park your bike. Again, it really depends where you work. Some buildings will let you bring your bike inside, depending on where you are. But legally in the city, you're allowed to park your bike at any parking meter, any three-legged sign, any traffic sign. And we do have bike racks throughout the city on the sidewalks. There are, if you want to have your bike covered, there are racks inside both Fountain Square Garage and Washington Park that you can park your bike at for free that are covered if you're worried about a little bit of rain, like maybe today. But I would say it's pretty easy to park your bike almost anywhere in the city. or in Northern Kentucky, just on the sidewalk somewhere.
Is it safe?
I think so. I hear very little bike theft, apart from when someone has left their bike sitting around unlocked.
Well, and you have to lock it, obviously. But there are. But I didn't realize there were parking garages that had bike racks in them as well. So there certainly are options.
And that's just within the last few years that we have been able to do that. And actually, one of the recent pieces of legislation we passed mandates that all future parking garages built in the city are now required to include bicycle parking.
One of the complaints we hear a lot, and I've got a number of folks who've written in, we had this up on Facebook for a couple of days now, and people are already sending in questions. And this Paul and Chris sort of have the same idea. Chris says, what education can occur to have cyclists follow the rules of the road? They often act like pedestrians instead of the vehicle they are. Frustrating when they advance between lanes of traffic or on sidewalks. Love having cyclists on the road, but wishes they would follow the rules. And Paul says, I've been an avid bicyclist for a long time. I use my bike for basic transportation and Sunday riding year-round, but I wish the police would enforce traffic regulation for bikes. This includes not riding on the sidewalk, signaling, stopping for stop signs and red lights. I've been thrust unwillingly into dangerous situations by motorists who think I were afraid or might do something unexpected myself because I ride a bike. Now, I've seen that. I'm sure you all have seen that to some extent. And as with anything, there are good bicyclists that are rule followers and those that aren't. First of all, let's establish what are the rules of the road. What should a bike do on the road? Where are you allowed to ride? What are the rules?
Well, one of the first ones is it's kind of a clumsy with words here, but it's right to ride on the right side of the road, starting there. And ride predictably as well. And most people I actually see on the road are riding pretty predictably. In other words, not swaying back and forth. And I think where some of the apprehension happens is when you come up alongside some parked cars and then you have traffic on the left side of you. And I know I sometimes get a little anxious thinking I may get doored when I'm going through, but knock on wood, up to this point I haven't been doored.
Doored means somebody opens their car door.
Somebody opening the door. I mean, actually, I've come across a few cars where the door would open and I was able to sidestep it. But you have to be really, really careful because then you have traffic to the left of you. But I think really in addition to that, it's really important to have two-way communication or multiple communication ongoing when you're on the road. Not only for bicyclists, but also when you're in a car. I was a passenger in a car last night on my way home, and we were almost part of a crash. There was a car in front of us that turned left and wasn't looking, and an oncoming car crashed into her, and we just happened to escape that. So I think it's just a matter of everybody paying attention to as best they can to what's going on. And of course, there are things that get in the way if you have other people in the car and you're talking, or if you're on your cell phone, which is always risky to do, of course.
What about, though, when a bike, you say stay to the right, and I understand that, but sometimes you're going to have to turn left. What do you do to be able to turn left safely?
Well, you can just start signaling, hold out your arm, you know, to left, just like, you know, safety school you learn. If it's a multiple lane road, turn around, look back as you're riding, and see if you can safely change lanes, just like you would in a car. Change lanes over to leftmost lane and, you know, predictably move into place and stay there. If it's a traffic light, wait for the light to change in your favor or for the arrow. Or if you're just crossing the road, wait for there to be no traffic, you know, just like you would a car.
And the car has to wait behind you then if they also want to turn left. Is that correct?
That's right. Vehicular cycling. You act like a vehicle. Sometimes you have to take the lane and in cases like there's parked cars, you want to move out into the lane so that you don't have to swerve around a door opening. You want to turn left, you want to take that lane so that you're not being passed by cars and cars can predict what you're going to do. And that's why you have to signal and communicate.
Right. And actually that is the safest way to ride a bicycle, is to become part of traffic. And as weird as strange or awkward as that may sound, it's actually the most comfortable way. This morning I was, which is a major pinch point, I think, is that between Elsinore and Liberty, there's a lot going on there. There's an exit ramp for 71, and then you're getting to Liberty, and there's the 471 entrance and exit, and then you're entering downtown. There's the casino. There's a lot more traffic there. But I have always found when I'm riding through there and I'm communicating where I'm headed and I'm actually looking back, I like to look back so cars know that I know that they're there and that we're just kind of checking in with one another. It works. Just simple communication and being predictable in terms of how you're riding.
So technically the law says that you need to ride as far to the right as is safe and practical. And so that sort of leaves it up to you to determine what is safe and what's practical. So like Jason talked about, you don't want to ride right next to the car doors because somebody might open their door and hit you. So the law doesn't require you to ride that far to the right. Something else Jason said was sometimes it's safest to take the lane. And what that typically means is the bicyclist will ride in the center of the lane. And sometimes that's confusing for motorists, but that really is the safest place for you sometimes because most of our lanes, at least in Cincinnati, are only 10 or 11 feet wide, and it's not really wide enough for somebody on a bike and somebody in a car to share that space. And so when you as a person on a bike are riding in the center of that lane, it really does indicate to the cars around you that they need to move into an adjacent lane if they're going to pass you, and that's really the safest thing for everybody.
And how is it okay for a bike to, obviously a car is going to be able to go faster than a bike, so is it okay to take that lane for a long time and then have a parade of cars behind you?
Legally it is. If that is the safest place for you to be at that time because there are parked cars on your right or potholes or glass in the street, then yes, you are legally allowed to be in the center of that lane for as long as you need to be in order to be safe.
Yeah, and two of the most dangerous things you can do is ride on the sidewalk and ride against traffic. There are so many times when I've been on a sidewalk, you know, coming out of Park and Vine or any other business, and all of a sudden out of nowhere comes a bicycle. And that's a hazard to anybody on the sidewalk.
Also, bikers do have to pay attention to the traffic signals, the lights, the stop signs, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I can't tell you the number, and of course you notice not the ones that are behaving, but the ones that aren't, but the number of times when I'm at a four-way stop and I'm stopped and it's my turn to go and the biker's just going on through. They don't even think about stopping. I mean, they are required, bikers are required to stop also.
That's correct.
Yes, they are supposed to follow all of the same rules of the road. And as you said, people do tend to notice more of the rule breakers than the law-abiding cyclists. But I think, like you said before, there are a lot of people who ride bikes who sometimes don't obey the law, just like there are many motorists who sometimes choose not to follow the speed limit or stop for red lights or whatnot.
What's the three-foot rule for motorists? Can somebody explain that?
So that goes back to sort of what we were talking about before with taking the lane and riding in the center of the lane. A few years ago in Cincinnati, City Council passed a comprehensive safety legislation packet, and one of the things in there was a 3-foot rule, which is in place in a lot of major American cities to improve safety for bikes. But basically it says when a motorist is passing somebody on a bicycle, they need to provide at least 3 feet of clearance between sort of the car's mirror and the bicyclist's elbow or handlebars. And that's just providing a safe distance so that there's no side swiping. I don't know.
Just safety. Do you guys? This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about biking, and we'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from the American Chemistry Council, celebrating 25 years of responsible care and the launch of its new product, Safety Code. The code represents the chemical industry's commitment to safe management of chemicals in consumer products. More information at americanchemistry.com/RC. Support comes from the Cincinnati Arts Association, presenting Hal Holbrook in his Tony Award-winning Mark Twain Tonight, May 17th. Tickets at 621Artsand cincinnatiarts.org.
Support comes from Cohen, offering a rewarding recycling experience and the safe, confidential disposal of obsolete hard drives, computers, cell phones, and more. You can visit CohenUSA.com to learn how consumers and businesses can safely recycle unwanted electronics and scrap metal with minimal impact to the environment. CohenUSA.com.
Support comes from the Terrace Cafe at the Cincinnati Art Museum, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. The Terrace Cafe offers a special dining experience with great ambiance, serving appetizers, a variety of sandwiches, soups, salads, and desserts from its exhibition kitchen, along with wine and beer. Outdoor dining is available at the gorgeous Alice Bimel Courtyard. More at cincinnatiartmuseum.org.
This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about biking today. My guest, Senior City Planner with the Cincinnati Department of Transportation and Engineering, Mel McVeigh, Park and Vine owner and bike advocate Dan Corman, and owner of Reeser Bicycle Outfitters, Jason Reeser. If you have a question, email it, impact@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook. And Mel just said to me during the break, let's talk about something fun. We all sound like a bunch of nerds. So we're not going to continue on about all the rules of the road. We did a lot of that, got that out of the way. What is fun? What, it's Bike to Work Day tomorrow. Is that right in
yes.
Cincinnati?
That's right. We're going to kick off Bike to Work Day with Breakfast on the Bridge. That's going to be on the Purple People Bridge between Cincinnati and Newport. We have been doing it for, I think, 6 years now, where we set up and have breakfast available for bicycle commuters that ride across the bridge. We get some coffee, pastries.
Free breakfast.
Free, that's right.
Well, what time is it?
And that's from 6:45 to 9 in the morning.
I didn't realize that you can bike on the Purple People Bridge, so that's not just a walking bridge. You are allowed to,
correct.
To bike
that's
on
correct.
That.
It's one of the best places to be on foot or on a bike.
To cross.
To get across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, we got word that the Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky and the Claremont Transportation Connection buses tomorrow, bikers can ride for free if they bring their bikes and put them on the bike rack. So we'll let y'all know about that. That's part of Bike to Work Day. Is there an increase on that day? Do you think people who ordinarily wouldn't bike to work will tomorrow? Even though it's supposed to rain, I guess?
They're definitely encouraged to. We've seen in the past where I've definitely seen people dust off their old bike and decide to try riding to work for the first time. They're encouraged by, you know, that they'll meet some people along the way. And then they stay with it for years and years and years. I know some longtime bike commuters that are still coming to the shop that, you know, they just decide during our, you know, events to start riding. So it does
That was
work.
Actually one of the first times I rode my bike to work was Bike to Work Week. I thought I might as well give it a try. And I was encouraged by seeing so many other people trying it for the first time. And I knew that I could take the bus home if I needed to.
So you have some options.
But I made it.
It's a major motivator, I think. It gets a lot of people out. And also, if people see their friends doing that, they're more inclined to do it. I know if I see my friends, especially with social media like Facebook, if you see people talking about events, you know, you're more likely to be interested in it as well.
Well, I think it goes without saying bicycling is very healthy, and it's one way to combine doing a workout with something else that takes up time in your life and already busy lifestyle. So, you know, it really makes your mind more clear as you're going to work and helps to enlarge your arteries. Things like that, they'll reduce the chance of stroke, all kinds of health benefits.
We do have a question. This is from Ashu, who says, does the city have a plan to increase the number of bike lanes to encourage bike commuting? And are the plans to link downtown to the Little Miami Bike Trail or the Wasson Way Bike Trail actually ever going to happen?
Yes, definitely. I know that it does feel slow. We've actually done a lot just in the last few years. If you look at the numbers, back in 2009, the city only had about 7 miles of bike lanes, and that goes back to about 1994. So in 15 years, we were only able to do about 7 miles of bike lanes. Just in the last 3 years, we've done almost 12. So it's happening. It's happening faster and faster. Some of our most exciting projects that are happening this year would be the completion of the Riverside Drive bike lanes. So those we did a portion of those last year, and we'll be taking them all the way downtown this year. So by July, you'll be able to ride your bike from Friendship Park all the way out to Lunkin Airport on your bike.
Sarah wants to know, when will Northern Kentucky have a bike trail similar to that of the Loveland Bike Trail? Does anybody know?
Well, the Loveland Bike Trail is made from rail trails, and currently a lot of the tracks in Northern Kentucky are still in use. Though there are other opportunities like bicycle boulevards where you know, a trail might go along the riverfront. There are plans for that kind of operation to happen. And as the riverfront development continues in Northern Kentucky, there's some construction over there. The plans are to include those kinds of facilities. I know that Bellevue is interested in marking some of the alleys and roads that are along the river as bicycle trails or bicycle boulevards. And continuing that from, then you'd have a continuous trail from the end of the Purple Bridge towards Dayton, Kentucky.
And you guys did a bunch of mountain bike trails this year.
That's right. DeVue Park has 8 miles of mountain bike trails now. So that's very close to downtown. A great way to go off and blow some steam after work. Really nice. One of the best trail systems in the country.
Joe wants to know, he says, there have been great improvements in bike infrastructure the past several years, which as a cyclist I've noticed, but one problem that remains persistent is the funding and frequency of bike land cleaning. Could you speak to the availability in the city budget for bike lane cleaning?
Oh, unfortunately, I cannot speak to that. In the past, City Council has been really supportive and great about giving us additional funding for cleaning of the bike lanes as we've been installing more and more, but with the budget cuts we're experiencing, I'm afraid that's one of the things that's going to be looked at again. And so I really can't say in the next budget whether or not there will be enough money for the extra cleaning or not.
Now the listener wants to know, they understand the importance of the 3-foot law, but if you're trying to pass a bike and there's no oncoming traffic, is it legal to cross a double yellow line to give the 3-foot?
Yes, it is. In Ohio, it is. I don't know if that's true for Kentucky or not.
Yes, I believe it is in Kentucky. I believe that just recently passed over there, too.
So in order to give enough space, it's okay. Nobody's going to pull you over and say you crossed them.
Correct. And actually, that brings up the billboards that people mm-hmm. might be seeing around town this month for Bike Month. The city partnered with a bunch of the other local bike advocacy groups, Queen City Bike, Cincinnati Cycle Club, MOBO, Steve Magus, the Ohio Bike Federation, to do these great billboards that actually show a car crossing the double yellow in order to safely pass a cyclist, giving her 3 feet.
Now, Becky wants to know, she says, there have been a lot of high-profile crashes and deaths lately. How will the city help protect cyclists, especially in high-traffic areas?
Wow, that is a great question. I wish that we could do more. Actually, that is somewhat related to another really exciting project that we are working on right now. We are trying to design a protected bicycle lane for Central Parkway that will run between downtown and Ludlow Avenue in Clifton, and a protected bike lane. We call it a cycle track, but it's basically a bike lane that has some type of physical separation between you and cars. And what we're seeing in terms of best practices nationwide, and this has been happening in Europe for decades, is these protected bike lanes are really the best way to reduce crashes and injuries.
This is from Juanita. She says, when are we going to have a bicycle trails completing the passages from Newtown to Lunken and then from Lunken to the downtown river trails? You talked a little bit about that, completing the passage from mid-Ohio to Cincinnati.
Is there a time frame for that?
I'm not sure that there is. Unfortunately, it's so expensive. And I know that can be hard sometimes for folks to grasp, but we're in a pretty urban area. And so building trails through a lot of the city is just really expensive. It's not like out in the country where you can just kind of throw some asphalt down. We have to deal with stabilizing riverbanks, going over or around streams, property acquisition. We've been making a lot of progress. There are two different pieces of Ohio River Trail that are in design right now, that should be constructed within the next 3, 4, 5 years. So it's getting there, but long term, I really couldn't say how long it'll take.
I want to point out one thing, though. Creating a bike trail versus adding a lane onto a road, building a bike trail is much, much cheaper than road construction. So,
than road construction, yes. But we almost never build new roads in the city.
Yes.
So for us in Cincinnati, it's significantly cheaper to construct a bike lane than it is to construct a trail, because we're partnering with the street rehab program most of the time, and all we're paying for is the additional bicycle symbols. Versus with the trail, we have to do all of the grading or the stabilization and whatnot.
We're out of time. I knew we would be. There's so much more to talk about. It goes so quickly. But I wanted to let everybody know we have links on our website with a lot of information. There are all kinds of bike clubs in town, and we linked to as many as we could come up with. And feel free to add those to our Facebook page if we've missed yours. Thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. My guest today, we're Senior City Planner with the Cincinnati Department of Transportation and Engineering, Mel McVeigh. She works on all of the city's bicycle infrastructure projects. Park and Vine owner and bike advocate Dan Corman, and owner of Reeser Bicycle Outfitter, Jason Reeser. Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.